Moncrief on News Talk.
Now then, an inquest hearing into a man's death following an appearance on Jeremy Kyle's show is currently underway. After this incident, the show was taken off air by ITV. But what was it like behind the scenes at this type of TV show? Tim Waterson is a media commentator and he joins us on the line now. Good afternoon, Jim. How are you today?
I am all right. Thank you very much, Tom.
Dare I ask, could I ask you just to remind us of this kind of show? Because I think when you describe it, it seems almost hard to believe that it was ever on air, to tell the truth.
It was, you know, these things weirdly, media is a funny business. Things can be massive and then suddenly we can be absolutely baffled that it was ever anywhere. So Jeremy Kyle, which ran for hundreds of episodes a year for around 15 years, was a mainstay of ITV in the UK. It was mid-morning fodder. It was humiliating largely working class people and getting them on to talk about their relationships. They get lie detector tests, DNA tests to check if they were really the father of the person they thought was their son. And the aim of the program really was to have a big old Barney that would make great shocking television, and you could gawp at how awful people were.
My God, it sounds like the Gladiators type of games, doesn't it? Or the Hunger Games or something. It's hard to believe. You actually got to see this backstage, did you?
Yeah, I mean, entirely coincidentally, I've been a media reporter for many years, but in a different life, I was a student who was on University Challenge. And entirely coincidentally, they were filming Jeremy Kyle in the studio next door when I was at university. And so, yeah, you saw the process. You saw these people who'd been taken out of the cab that had just delivered them. They'd been put up in a hotel overnight and they were put straight onto, into this studio, and you could hear the sort of shouting from within. It really was like sort of seeing people pushed into the bear pit. And I've also talked to, in my role reporting on the media, talked to people who are on it, and they just describe the speed with which they were someone sitting at home watching this show. They'd see the offer of some free counselling, a free paternity test, a free DNA test or a lie detector test, phone up the show, and they'd be pretty much on within days in some cases with the show recorded and their life potentially ruined.
What was the atmosphere like? Because, I mean, it seems like it's very adversarial, I would have thought. But on the other hand, you're trying to put an arm around these people and tell them, well, are you honestly going to try to tell these people they're in a safe place?
A lot of the issues that came up with these shows, and Jeremy Kyle was far from the only one. You know, there were programs like Trisha and many others that also, what people wanted to watch was people who they could judge, people who made them feel better about their own lives or who had tales so bizarre about relationships that they, it was entertainment and it appealed to the sort of base desires in us all to have a bit of a gossip about people, but it took it further and further in the hunt for ratings.
Right.
There was a guy called Dwayne Davidson I talked to who was on it, and he really was straight on the show within days of phoning up because he didn't believe that his partner had been loyal to him. And that was one thing, but then the clip went on YouTube, and for weeks afterwards and then years afterwards he would get people recognized. He couldn't hold down a job because of it. The impact of a sort of impulsive decision to sign a consent form and say yes, I want to be on this show could be lives ruined, and that's with the people who didn't have particularly really unfortunate endings.
Right. And did they have a kind of psychiatrist working on the show or someone like that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is quite historic, what we're talking about. There really has been a sea change in terms of A, which shows will get commissioned, and B, how aftercare is done. Because, in the late 2010s, a lot of the programs that had been running for about a decade started to feel quite tired. And Jeremy Kyle's show was one of the absolute worst for this. They might have a follow-up counselor session, but it was quite a tick box exercise. They might offer a sort of psychiatrist view, but it wasn't really the in-depth thing. So because they could say that they had offered some aftercare, the fact that they might have wound up the guests before going on air isn't taken into account. So you have this sort of thing where you'd wind up these individuals who are often struggling with addictions, relationship problems, tell them to go into this studio where they'd be booed or cheered. And then at the end say, well, you've had your 1 hour with a counselor, lovely meeting you. Here's your appearance fee and a taxi home. Wait a few months until it's on air and the rest of the world is laughing at you.
laughing at you. Yeah, unbelievable. So there wasn't somebody, because I'm feeling it's like a boxing ring. There wasn't, you know, a doctor on standby taking a look at these people saying, that person can't go in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, there were always checks. I don't want to sort of give the impression that these things weren't taken into account. I think there's a difference in attitude now. What used to be a tick box exercise, production companies are realizing that they need to take seriously. And, you know, these shows were cheap to make. The Jeremy Kyle Show was running hundreds of episodes a year every morning on ITV. It was big money, and it didn't cost that much to get the guests in. So it was profitable. And one of the things that actually makes these shows not work anymore is if you actually have to provide responsible aftercare to people, well, they become a lot more expensive to make. And rather than just finding someone in the local pub who's willing to go on stage and scream at their missus, you actually have to look after them and judge whether that's an appropriate thing to do and whether you'll get pushed back as a television broadcaster for pushing it on air.
Yeah, but back then, nothing like that. And how are they actually finding an audience? Do they advertise or something?
Oh, the audience, that was pretty easy to fill. I mean, you know, you'd just offer free seats and people would view it as a great day out at the theatre. You might even get sort of get your lunch paid for in an appearance. I think.
Right. Okay. So that, like the arena and the contestants, I'm calling them contestants, but the people going on in front of the cameras, how are they found?
They were often viewers. They were often viewers who would see at the end of an episode of Jeremy Kyle, do you want to go on this show? You're sitting there, it's mid-morning, you're watching Kyle, and you go, well, yeah, I also have a conundrum I want solved. My life might be not great. I might not have the money for counseling or a paternity test myself, and they're offering to pay for it. Great, that's the conundrum solved, without necessarily thinking through the long-term implications of what that would mean when a show was eventually broadcast, all the way that they might be wound up by production staff before going on stage. You know, it's all, of course, you know, Jeremy would love to talk through your problems. But then the moment that you're actually in there, you discover the reality is perhaps slightly different.
Well, the reality, well, the four big things people very often want to talk about was who is the real biological father of the baby. There was often a family member committing petty theft, infidelity and addiction to drugs, all of them huge issues. So you go in, other family members who you're involved with are sitting around you. And then on top of that, they're going to throw a polygraph and a DNA test into the equation.
Yes, and polygraphs are not always the most reliable things. You know, all of this, it does, I think in some ways we can be negative about the way society is going. There are some positives. You know, the things that people took for granted in terms of how the media acted 20 years ago, a lot of them aren't the case anymore. And I think some of the things we're hearing today fall into that category, that there is a bit of a cause for optimism, that people can be more responsible. The idea of talking about men's mental health when this show launched would be laughable, and now it's just a part of everyday life. And we do just consider the impact that this has on people. Of course, that doesn't mean that humans are any better and less willing to gawp at private lives or less interested in the details of other people. And perhaps social media has just filled that void. It's created by the users instead of by TV companies. And we feast on it, but we do it through our mobile phone screen rather than watching a television program. But I do think that there is a difference there.
Right. How do you think Jeremy Kyle came off in all of this back in the day? Because you could say he was put into an impossible position.
It was a career that he made for himself, and a very lucrative one. He said it's had a substantial impact on him, the death which has caused this inquest that we're talking about today. But he's a man who continues to have a career and continues to broadcast with News UK in the UK.
Right, very good. Fascinating stuff, Jim. And thanks very much for joining us today. Jim Waterson, their media commentator.
Thank you, Tom.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.